Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Mike DeLong, the pastor of Cross Point Community Church. Do you know that we're going to be 10 years old this spring? Yeah. Late winter, early spring. We're going to be talking about that in a few weeks and let you know some of the plans that we have for that time. We want it to be a time of celebration that God has been with us over these 10 years. So this morning we are starting a church-wide, I guess I will call it a campaign. A church-wide campaign. And it's a series, but I call it a campaign because it's going to involve our small groups. It's going to involve Sunday morning. It's going to involve every group that we have. And we also have daily readings and memory verses for us. It's a concentrated time for 7 weeks that we're going to do. And as the theme verse for this series, we're using Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. In fact, I'm going to read it for us this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You will either be conformed or you will be transformed. When you are conformed, when you conform, you behave according to the pattern and the customs and the traditions and the opinions of the world. When you are transformed, the word transformed means to change the condition or the nature or the character of something. Conforming has to do with behavior. Transforming has to do with character. Conforming is from the outside in. We see something that others are doing and we conform to that. Transforming is from the inside out. Conforming is something we do. Transforming is something God does in us, something we are. I am really excited about this series because as we go through for these 7 straight weeks, we're going to be talking about how God teaches us in the Bible how He wants to, through His Spirit, transform us and change us into His image and into His glory. When we give our lives to the Lord, God begins a transforming process in us. And we need to allow Him to take control and take over of every area of our life. And it involves not just changing our behavior, but changing how we actually think. That's why the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. God wants to help us change the way we think. Some of us think the wrong things about who we are, what kind of people we are, and what kind of success we can have in our lives. Some of us have the wrong thinking about our position in Christ. We need to have our minds renewed so we can, to be like Christ, we need to think like Christ. So that's the reason for this series called Transformed. And over the next 7 Sundays, starting today, this is Sunday number 1, week number 1, over the next 7 weeks, we are going to look at God's plan to transform you and me in 7 key areas of our lives. And those 7 key areas, we're going to start today with, we're going to look at our spiritual health. But the 7 areas we're going to look at are your spiritual health, your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, your relational health, your financial health, and your vocational health. These represent pretty much every area out of our lives. And God, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, wants control, wants something to say about every area of our lives. We are not just spiritual beings on Sundays. We are spiritual beings and followers of Christ every day of the week, 24/7. So I'm going to ask that God would allow His Word to renew our minds, to change the way that we think about our lives and literally transform us into followers of Jesus who think and live like him. You need to invite people to this series. It's awesome. It's going to be really great. So put on your seatbelts and here we go. Now I'm going to talk about how we're going to do the campaign or the series. One of the key features or the key things that we're going to use during this series is this little workbook that I have in my hand. I'd like everyone to have a workbook. So, Jill, do we have any left? We have six left. This workbook, it's $12, and I told you 3 or 4 weeks ago to start planning, you know, and save up $4 a week or whatever. It's $12 for one, or if you're a couple, it's $20 for the both of you. Plus, we have people who have given extra, so if you can't afford it, just take one and just steal it and walk away. Look, Jill, it's Haley's comment. We will take care of that. Don't worry about that. Don't make that the reason you don't have a book. So I would like you to bring your workbooks every Sunday, even to our, like right now. I'd like you to have your book. Now, if you left it at home, that's fine, but bring it next time. Because there are places even for you in the book on Sundays to take notes on the sermons, okay? So this book has seven sections. Makes sense because we have seven areas of life that we're going to look at. The book has seven sections. They're the same layout on each section. For example, the first section, spiritual health, starts on page one. And someone came and they're saying, you know, this book doesn't have any page numbers. Well, it actually does. It took me a while to find them, but it's on the sides in light blue print on the sides of every page. A little hard to find. But on page one is where it all starts. So if you go to page one, if you have your book, let's just take a look at it. Page one, transformed in my spiritual health. This begins today's section, okay? And then if you look at page two and three, there are blank pages. And this is for your sermon notes. For those of you who feel like taking sermon notes, you can put it right on here. This is your book. It's a pretty cool book for only $12. Put your name in it, like I did. And I put October 2015, just to remind me. Mark it up. Use it. It's something that's going to be integral to our series. But if you don't bring your book, or you don't have a book, or you're just not, you don't feel like doing it, that's fine. Come on Sundays, and you'll benefit anyway. So every week, we're going to have a Sunday morning message. And we're going to hear about that week's topic. For this week, it's spiritual health. And you're going to put your sermon notes on page 2 and 3, if you feel like. The other part or aspect of this series is small groups. So I asked you if you could... thank you. I asked you if you could possibly do it, join a small group. And they all start this week. And so in the small group time, you will move on to the next page, for example, on page 5. The reason we have small groups is we can help one another in our struggles and in our strategies to have God working in us. And it's important that we help one another. So I'm asking that just for six, it's actually only going to be 6 weeks, so the seventh week is Thanksgiving week, we won't meet that week. So just six meetings, starting this week, if you can try to come to one of the small groups, I would really appreciate it, and it would really help you to be able to, and you may make some new friends, you may find out something about someone, that someone gives a key insight that will help you. You may help someone else in their life and in their struggles as well. There are six small groups that you can join. I'll just go through them real quick. Sunday night, tonight, 7 hours from now, at 6 p.m., we will meet here at the church for anyone who wants to come to join the Sunday night small group for six weeks. All right? At 6 p.m., it's open to everyone. If you just want a small group that's not specific to men or ladies or whatever, just come. Then on Tuesday night at 7, the men. So if you're a guy, you want to come to that and be part of the men's group, you can do your small group then this Tuesday, at 7. And then Wednesday night at 6:30, There's a ladies small group available for you. 6:30 Wednesday. Then Thursday night at 6 p.m., the Owls group, older, wiser, loving saints at the home of Judy Cassie. And that's in the bulletin for you. Then Friday morning, 10 a.m., another ladies small group. If you're interested in that one, 10 a.m. right here. And then Friday night, the group for young adults, 7 p.m. at our home on Pageland. And that's for people who are kids, or people who are 18 to 30-something. You're a young adult, you can meet at our home. Some of you may attend more than one group. Maybe you want to go to the men's group, and then you also want to come to Sunday night group, or you're in a couples group or something. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. You'll be able to help more people that way. So the section for small groups begins on page 5. There's a memory verse every week that the leader will talk about. This week's is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And then once you get started in your group, after a few minutes, you'll turn on the DVD player and you'll watch a video. And the video will be a teaching that's different from what I'm going to do this morning. It's a teaching by Rick Warren. You'll watch that teaching and you can fill in the blanks as you go on. So that's found on page 6 and 7 and 8. As he goes through the video, the answers to these questions will appear. If you're the kind that wants to take notes that way, you can fill in as he does the lesson, or you can just sit there and listen to him. Then after that, there's a discussion time where one or more questions will be guided by the facilitator, and you can see those there. And then finally, your small group together, you'll help each other to set goals. Why do we talk about setting goals? Too often, we listen to a message or we learn something, we say, that's really great. I really believe that. I really agree with that. Oh, that's awesome. But then you go and you don't change your life. What we need to do with one another is encourage one another to establish and set goals. To set goals based on the Bible teaching that we've had and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the input of other group members. Did you know that Jesus had goals? In Luke chapter 4, you can see when he began his ministry, he set out his goals and stated them and said, here's what I'm going to do. Paul had goals. The Apostle Paul had goals. So you have a place to write your goals down for each area of your life. And your leader will help you with that. And then there's a prayer time. So that's your small group. Then the last thing is a daily devotional. Right after that section, starting on page 14, you'll see it says day one. There are, believe it or not, 7 days every week. So the first week, spiritual health, there's day 1 through 7. If you want to make today day one, that's fine. Or you may want to make tomorrow day one. Whatever you want, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make today day one in my reading. So today, at some point, I will read. It's just one page. It's a Bible verse. And a discussion or a devotional on that verse, and then on the right places that you can, if you have any insights or the Lord is telling you something, you can write it there. So we have a daily devotional for you every day, all for the low price of $12 to get this book. All right. So you can start today or you can start tomorrow with day one and read it all through the series. So I think I'm really excited about this. I asked for your participation. I ask for your openness and try to be receptive to what the Holy Spirit may want to do in your life. Most of all, I want God to bless and use this series to do a real work of grace in each of us. And I pray that God's transformational work will move some of us from emptiness and failure and discouragement to fullness and victory, from insecurity to godly courage and faith and boldness, so that we can all become what God wants us to be. So even before I begin this first piece, which is spiritual health, I want to pause and I want to ask God to anoint this series, to anoint our ears, to anoint our minds and our spirit, and to use this series in every one of us, and for those of us who really need it. So I'm going to take a few minutes to pray, and I'm going to see if someone will come up and pray for us for this series. Someone who's been listening and thinking, and maybe Beth or someone. Beth, oh, hi, Beth. This is Beth. And this is just, the reason I want to do this is not just a preaching series. It's not just something we're doing. It's something that I think is needed. I mean, we worked on this, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago in our planning sessions, because we think that God wants to do a work in our lives and wants to change and transform us. Do you remember the day, I'm sorry, Beth.
That's okay.
Do you remember the day that when John Comperta was here, and we had communion, and people wrote down things that that were on their heart and that was a problem in their lives. Do you remember that? And a lot of you put things down and gave them, and Pastor John then gave them to me, and they're anonymous, so we can't tell who wrote what. But I read those, and I became aware that there are deep needs in our congregation. There are needs where God needs to do a work in our lives. We need God to do something. So that was sort of sparked me to look into something like this and do something that's based on the scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that God wants to transform us. So let's have Beth pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask you, we beg you, and we just implore you, Lord, to come over this series. Anoint it, Lord, and give it to us right into the marrow of our bones. Father, I just pray, I want to be renewed. I want to be transformed, and I know many here do, probably all. Lord, I just ask you to do this work in us. Put our feet forward to meet it, Lord, and to really do the action of this book. Lord, I just thank you for Pastor Mike and for everyone here, Lord, and I thank you that you're going to work in our lives and give us enthusiasm and just give us the joy that we'll feel just getting into your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Beth. Mm-hmm. So the first area that we're going to look at, first key area, is going to be spiritual health. It's what we're going to begin with. A good way of defining spiritual health is, how close are we to God? How close are we to God? The farther away we are from God, the more spiritual trouble we're going to have, and the more unfulfilled our lives will be. The closer we are to God, the better our lives will be, the more He will transform us. A couple of examples in Scripture. Moses, when he met with God and was close to God on Mount Sinai, I don't know if you remember reading that, in the book of Exodus, when Moses met with God on Mount Sinai, he was transformed. So transformed that he actually glowed, physically glowed, and people couldn't even bear to look at him. When Paul met Jesus Christ face to face, he was radically transformed from a religious terrorist who went around killing Christians to the great apostle of love and grace, just from being face to face with Jesus. I'm hoping we all want to be close with God, and that's what will help us in our spiritual health. But as the Bible says in Isaiah, all we have gone astray like sheep. We have each turned to our own way. Our natural tendency is to wander and to go astray. Just like in a marriage or a relationship, there's a natural tendency to grow apart that you have to actually work on to make sure that doesn't happen. Our natural tendency is to wander and go away and go astray from God, because we're naturally, as Paul says in Romans chapter 7, we are naturally self-centered. We're naturally selfish. We naturally resist God's corrective work in us. How many of us want to be corrected? So, since getting closer to God is the way to spiritual health and godly transformation, we need to talk about how can we get close to God and how can we stay close to God. We need to learn how we can get back into that close relationship with God that we once had. Maybe you've lost your joy because you're not close to God. Well, there's a great story in the Bible that teaches us how to get back to God and how to get close to Him. And it's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It's the story of the prodigal son. And it's told by Jesus in Luke chapter 15. So I'm going to read the story of the prodigal son out of Luke chapter 15. And then we're going to pull some principles out of it on how to transform your life spiritually. So I'm going to read verses 11 through 24 in Luke chapter 15. So Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me to be like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." What an incredible story. Jesus tells a story about how every one of us tends to wander away from the Father who made us, from the God who loves us. This young man is all about me, me, me. Self-centered, selfish. I want what's mine now. So Dad gives it to him and he takes off. He heads out of town. He heads to wherever the sin capital of the day was and wastes his money on, what one author says, wine and women. He eventually spends everything, spends his entire fortune. Maybe he was gambling, maybe he wasted it on other people, I don't know what he did. But he was completely out of money. And then a famine came and he was starving, and he was homeless and couldn't find a job. And he found a farm where he was able to slop pigs. And he got so hungry and desperate that he actually considered eating the pig slop. But no one would even give him that. One day, though, he finally came to his senses. And he realized that even the lowliest servant back at his father's house had plenty to eat. while I'm here starving to death. So he resolves to go back home, not as a family member, but just as a servant. And you know the rest of the story as we see the father's loving and accepting response to his son. From this story, I want us to see four things that you need to do to get back to God if you're far away from him. Maybe you are far, far away from God right now and you haven't served or worshiped God for years. Or maybe you're closer than that, but you're not where you used to be. Or maybe you've been distant from God for just a short period of time. Maybe only recently you've lost the presence of God in your life. Here are four things that you can do and I can do to get back to God. The first is this. You need to say to yourself, I'm fed up with my life. I'm fed up with my life. We need to realize I don't like the way I'm living right now. I don't like this. I'm fed up with the life the way it is. I'm sick and tired of the way I'm acting, the way I treat others, the lack of joy, the stress I have of living. I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of feeling alone. I'm tired of feeling distant from God. I'm tired of the sin that's in my life. I'm sick of it. I'm tired. I'm fed up. In our scripture passage, the son's transformation began when he had nothing left and he got desperate and hungry and finally came to his senses and said, enough of this. I'm done with this. I'm fed up. I don't want to live like this anymore. It may be that the storms of your life are God's way of getting you to be desperate and hungry for him. He loves you. He doesn't want you to miss out on him or to waste your life. So when you say, I'm dissatisfied with my life, I don't like where I am in life, I'm frustrated, I'm confused, I'm alone, that could be God knocking at your door. So the first step in spiritual transformation is for you to get discontented, frustrated, disgusted, fed up with the way you're living, if that's the place that you are. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. God says through Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And another translation says, you'll find me when you get serious about finding me. That's what all your heart means. And want it more than anything else. When you get fed up with the way things are going, God will then begin to reveal himself to you. So the son was fed up. Secondly, I need to own up to my sin. There's an up in every one of these, by the way. Get fed up and own up to your sin. In verses 17 and 18 in our scripture, it says that the young man came to his senses and said, I have sinned against God and my Father. It is hard to admit sin. It's hard to admit that you're wrong and that you have sinned. But that's exactly what this young man did. A big roadblock in the spiritual health of many of us is sin and failure to recognize and confess it. When we have strayed from God, we need to own up to the fact that we have not been living God's way, that we've been sinning, that we've been doing things that are contrary to God's moral and spiritual and scriptural law and teaching. We need to say to ourselves, I've been doing things my own way, my own power, my own control. I've been trying to control everything. Part of sin is our need to control. The feeling that we need to be in control of everything. A lot of us have that problem. It's hard just to give up that control. So we need to own up to our own sin and our own selfishness. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, verse 2. Your sins have separated you from your God. They have hidden his face from you. Those sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Have you ever felt like God's not listening to you when you pray? That the prayer is just bouncing off the ceiling? Why? Your sins have separated you from God. There's that old saying, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? Maybe you have moved away from God by giving your love and your attention to something else, made it an idol. Maybe you have moved away from God by controlling every little aspect of your life instead of asking God to help and control it. So we need to own up to our sins. Like David in Psalm 51. Lord, wash away my sins and make me clean. I recognize my faults and I know I have sinned against you. We need to take time to evaluate ourselves. The Bible says, examine yourselves and ask God to point out our sins. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. So we need to get fed up with our situation. We need to own up, which means to confess our sins. Third, we need to offer up ourselves. I offer up myself. I offer up my life. I offer up my total being. This third thing is so important that we yield. We talk about it in the Christian Missionary Alliance. We call it yielding to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to work in us, offering up myself. That's the third thing this young man did. In verse 19, he says, make me your servant. Just tell me what to do. I'm yours. He returned to the Father and offered himself in service. He changed from give me to make me. That was his transformation. Our heart needs to move from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Our attitude needs to change from give me, give me, give me. What can God do for me? It's all about me, to make me your servant. I give myself to you. Sanctification, being made holy, is both a crisis point and a process. We need to come to a point, it's like a crisis, where we're fed up with who we are and the way we are, and we offer ourselves up to God, then the process begins. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed continually into His likeness. As we offer ourselves up to God, He transforms us from the lowly caterpillar to the beautiful butterfly. Remember our theme verse, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The verse before it, verse 1, says, God is merciful. Offer yourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. And you will find that the Father's response will be just like the Father in this story, where it says, He filled with love and compassion, the Father ran out to His Son, threw His arms around Him, and kissed Him. In your moment of desperation and recognition of sin, as you offer yourself to God, He will run out to meet you. He will come to you and hug you and kiss you. God doesn't hold a grudge against you. He's ready to lavishly love you and bless you. And you will come home not to condemnation, but to blessing. So, to be spiritually transformed, we need to be fed up, to own up to our sins, to offer up, give ourselves. And finally, there's one more step, lift up my praise. That's why we sang that song, Open Up the Heavens. One line says, to lift up our praise. At the end of our story, the Father says, we're going to celebrate with a feast of eating and drinking. My son was lost, but now he's found. So let the party begin. What kind of party is there without music, singing? The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to His name, lift a song to Him. I think for our own transformation, we need to celebrate and sing and celebrate God in worship. So when we come on Sunday mornings, we have songs to sing, enter into the songs and the singing and the praise. There was an interesting study in 2007 in the UK and another one in 2013 in Sweden that found that group singing is good for one's physical and mental health. And another study reported in the book Imperfect Harmony, I looked all these up, made sure these were true, found that those who sing regularly with others, guess what? Live longer. If you come every week, I'm going to give you so many pieces of advice to live longer. It's going to be awesome. We're all going to live to 102 like Maureen Fernie. They live longer and have better lives. The father had a celebration. They rejoiced about what had happened. That's why I love singing and celebrating together with you each week. It's good for my spiritual health. Lift up my praise. So as we follow the example of the prodigal son in this passage, when we're fed up with our life, we own up to our sin, we offer up ourselves, and we lift up our praise, God will meet us and draw us to himself in love and grace. There's a small group meeting yet this week we can go to. There's daily readings. Look into this and then maybe testify next week of what God has done in your life. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are thankful for your grace and for your love. We thank you for saving us and giving us new life. The love and forgiveness that you have for us makes my heart glad. And I want to sing and celebrate. So Lord, we come to you and we confess, many of us, that we are fed up with the way we've been living without you in control. And we own up to our sin, which has separated us from you. That's the big barrier. And we offer up ourselves and ask you to change us from within. Now, as we're still praying and our heads are bowed, if maybe you've never accepted initially God's gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, I implore you, accept him now. Say, thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for me. I give myself to you. Make me your servant. Transform my life. And you know what? If you've done that, if you want to ask God in your life right now, just, I'm not even looking, just raise your hand. Raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to be one of yours. Save me. Give me eternal life. Amen. And we ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.